in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Have your Bibles open with you to the passage that we have just read. I entitled this message, "Making Haste to Trust in the Savior." You know the word haste. Haste means quickly. So as a background, you see the scene is concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph, being of the line of David, he had to return to the town of Bethlehem because there was a census on by the Roman authority. Just hold on. Could you off the fan here? Yeah, just here. So Joseph and his family went to Bethlehem, and according to the scriptures, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we see that the baby being born was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn, the hotel. And these are things that we will look into in a short while. But of concern to us is the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we find that the shepherds, the attention now is changed to the shepherds. They are in the open field. It says here that living out in the fields. So must be pretty cold at night in those type of areas. But anyway, they live there. And what do shepherds normally do? They look after the sheep. So every day is they eat their food, they sleep, and then they keep the sheep. And the only unusual, exciting event, maybe there is a lion or there's a wolf or some creature that goes after the sheep. That would be the most exciting thing in their life. And if they wander off, like the Bible says, of lost sheep. So this probably with the things that excite the shepherds. Otherwise, normally the shepherd would be, it's just a mundane profession. Looking after sheep, guiding them to where there's grass, and so on. But God has a purpose in for these shepherds that very day. And just as we as people who make plans to do certain things at a certain time, just like the workers from migrant workers, they work here for 3 years, they have a set time, then they go back. Okay. The Lord Jesus, God has his plan. But God's plan is not 3 years. It may be one day, it may be 1,000 years. But God's plan will be fulfilled at the exact time and the exact moment. The Bible says the time is at hand. So the Lord Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And now that the shepherds have something happen to them. To their amazement, the mundane work, the angels appear to them in glory. They are frightened. So that is the scene. They tell them of the birth of a babe. But it is no ordinary babe, as they tell them. As they tell them that this day there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we will look into this in a short while. They of course are afraid, because besides those unusual events that happen once a while, every day of their life is meh, that's all in their life. But God has something for them, and God is going to awaken them, and something is going to change their lives forever. And may this be true for all of us, this very event that has changed the whole of human history and destiny, and that very day of the birth of a baby. And we want to learn three things today. Okay. Firstly, we want to know about God, about his will for us in his word. Second, we want to believe what we know of God and his will in his word. And thirdly, we want to come to the Christ of his word. These are the three things we want to learn today. Okay. So firstly, where will you find the will of God, the knowledge of God? What is God like and what is his will? Where will you find it? Will you go to the look up the sky at the stars? That's what people do of their destiny in a little book. Or they look up the sun, as we have met people who worship the sun. Or will you look at the trees and see how orderly the trees are, and somehow they will give you some idea of what will happen to you? Is this how you will know God? No. You will find God only in his word. God reveals himself to us in his word. You will not find. You will be confused. And there will be various opinions about God that you will find in the world. And if you were asked, what is God like? You can be sure that if it comes out of your head, you can be sure it is wrong. Because unless God reveals his truth to us about himself, you will not know who God is like and what God wants you to do. It's the same. If two people who don't know each other, and you are trying to, and you will tell someone, oh, this person is of this character, of this, but you don't know the person. The person hasn't met you. The person hasn't spoken to you. The person hasn't shown himself to you. How will you know what that person is like unless he reveals himself to you? So God reveals himself to us only in his word. If you do not study his word by yourself, or come to hear the preaching of the word or the Bible study, you will not know about God. But is that all you want to know? You want to know about God? surely you come here for a purpose. I hope, really hope you come here for a purpose, not to only gain some knowledge, maybe useful. Then, after you go home, your Bible is like that. So every week, is that your life? Your life of, you come to hear something and you put it back. It's always you come and you learn something. Yes, you will learn something. You come here, but it's always kept outside of you. So it's good that you come to hear the preaching of His word, but it's not good enough. Yes, you can only know God and His will in His word, but it's not good enough to only know about Him. Okay. We want something more. If we want to come here, we want to believe. This is the second thing. The first thing is we want to know about God, about the Lord Jesus in His word. The second is we want to believe the thing that is spoken of. And if this book is still outside of you, it's not in your heart, it will not be of any use to you. If it still remains outside of you, it has no purpose for you. No lasting purpose. It is only head knowledge. So we want to come to see about these shepherds, how they were transformed by an event. Okay. So here they are, their mundane work, always bleating, you know, they may get sick of the, although they love the sheep, they know each one by name, and they always try to rescue them from the grasp of the lion, or when they fall into a hole, or when they're wandering away. He truly loves his sheep, but that's all in his life. Until that very day that the angels met them, oh, they were very afraid. But don't look at this superficially, for you know why. As the angels speak to them, their inner spiritual senses start to resonate. You know why? Because unlike us Gentiles, who weren't brought up by the word of God, they are Jews. They have the culture of what? Of going to the synagogue every week. They have the word of God because they belong to the commonwealth of Israel. They have years of indoctrination, right or wrong by their leaders, but nonetheless, they revere the scriptures. So you see, it wasn't as if some angels just appeared to the shepherds and tell them, "Hey, there's a wonderful thing there. Just go and see." Yeah. No. These shepherds knew something about the Bible. They were told in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Hey, to us ignorant Gentiles, doesn't mean anything unless you study God's word. That is why you must return to God's word. But to the Jews, these shepherds knew from their background, from their history, from their inbuilt after years of indoctrination, that out of David, who is David? Out of King David, God promised a son who would rule. And when they heard this from the angels, being afraid at first, suddenly their inner conviction was beginning to warm up. Why? Because God had already promised a coming of the son of David. And yet, these people, these shepherds, every week they hear teaching, year after year they hear teaching, you know, there's going to come a Messiah, there's going to come a Messiah who will shepherd my people in Ezekiel, and yet nothing has happened. But the thought and the teaching is in them. But when the angels speak to them, first of all, they recognize it's something extraordinary. How often do you have angels appearing in glory and speaking to anyone, even at that time? Oh, so this is something extraordinary. But they are not going to hear anyone telling them stories. They are so strong, in a sense, they are so brought up in God's word that they now recognize, hey, the angels are talking about someone going to be born. And we know from our scriptures that it's going to be a Messiah, a Christ, and a Savior. And so, you see, beginning in them, a warming of interest. And you can see why this is the case. It's because in verse 15, they say, as they decide among themselves, they say, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. You see, both from the scriptures that they know and from the appearance of the angels. Because the end of the inscription of the Bible is not finished yet. So God appeared in dreams and in visions and in prophets. See? So in their hearts, they were already warmed to this fact. And they took it as face value. Because the scriptures confirm what the angel is telling them. You see? And this should be the case for us. How may you know about the Lord in the Word of God? So this is the first thing you must learn. We know the Lord in the Word of God. We can find Him in the Word of God. Do not look elsewhere. Do not use your own thoughts about Him. Even the shepherds knew. They were brought up to know there is a coming Savior, coming Christ. And who is this Son of David? He is a king promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That one day God will send forth a son, and this son will sit on the throne of David. Oh, you see? And who is this Christ? This is the Messiah, the anointed one. God had already promised He will send someone, this special person. Now let me tell you what is next. See? The second thing is, we want to learn is, you have the scriptures, you come to hear God's word, you're being taught, but do you believe? Do you believe? Because if the shepherds heard the same thing, they could have said, very nice, thank you. Hey, what a wonderful thing of a baby born. Of the line of David, of Christ. And then what? They just continue with looking after their sheep. If they didn't believe, it wouldn't lead them to the next step. They not only believe the scriptures that they had learned, but they believe the angel who told them and said to them. The angels didn't tell them to go. The angels just tell them there will be a sign. What does he say in verse 12? And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Yes, a baby is going to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe. So, you have to believe what the angels tell you before you go. And these people were not blind people. These were hardy people who could tell the difference from a wolf and a lion, because they were after their sheep. They're hardy people. They're not stupid. So we see the second thing we need to know is that you need to believe the scriptures about Christ. The first is you need to know the scriptures about Christ. The second is you need to believe the scriptures about Christ. Otherwise, it will not lead you to the third thing, that we will come in a short while. Well, the shepherds could have said, okay, very nice. Let's go back have a drink. They go back to looking after the sheep, sit down, have a break, eat some supper, have a chat, and see everything's all right with the sheep. No, that's not what they did. You look at the next verse. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. You see what is happening? You see, they know the scriptures. They are being enlightened about an event that has happened according to the scripture. That means God has fulfilled it. And they believe. And when they believe, the third thing they did was they ran. They decided to go and have a look. But they didn't walk. They ran. See? When you believe, when you begin to believe in the Lord, that the Lord has come and the Lord is here, you will run. But that is only when you believe. And so when they arrive, what do they see? They see Mary, Joseph, and the baby. But the funny thing is, when they leave, well, they tell them what they heard from the angels, and they all marveled, and Mary marveled. And when they leave, they're praising God. The shepherds say, "Praise God." But, hey, you think about it. If someone at that time asked you to go to have a look at this manger, at the birth of a baby in swaddling clothes, you go there. It's rather ordinary, isn't it? Just a baby. A baby wrapped up in a manger. And what is a manger? A place where you keep animals at night, isn't it? There's a donkeys, there's other animals, and smelly. Really smelly. You go to see a baby in a smelly place. So you see, it does no good to you if you don't believe. If you don't have faith, it's useless. You go there and you say, it's the same like any hospital. A hospital is probably a better place to go and visit a baby instead of a manger. And yet, the shepherds return. What do they do? The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Very unusual. Just look at a baby. Tell them that the angels told them that this is a special baby. And they're praising God. I tell you, no natural person, if gone to see this baby, would return and do the same if they didn't believe the scripture. This is no no ordinary visit. This is a visit of faith. The fact that they went, they believed what the angel said, they believed what the scriptures, what the angel said, confirmed the scriptures that they knew. And so they believed the scriptures and what the angel said, and they went. And when they left, they are praising God. No ordinary person going there will praise God. And this explains the truth. That is why the Lord is born in a manger. No room in a hotel, in an inn. No room in a palace for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have you ever wondered? This determines the path of the Lord Jesus Christ when he is born. The path of the Lord Jesus is that he will face a life of humiliation. Being born, the Son of Man, the Son of God, being born in a state of humiliation starts the day he's born. Well, the day that he's conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. No room in an inn for the king. No room in the palace where there's royalty. And no room in the hearts of the people of Israel. The king is born in an obscure place, obscure time, an ordinary time. It appears an ordinary event, a birth of a baby, but with no eyes of faith, it is only an ordinary event. But with the eyes of faith, it's a very special, unique event. And if you don't have faith in the Word of God, however much the angels appear to you, you will in no wise believe, and no wise go and see the babe, and in no wise return praising God. Such is the way of God. God has chosen the way of the foolish. Born in a dirty, smelly manger. Not in an inn, a comfortable palace. Born without any hoo-ha. No declaration. No trumpets. Truly, the King of Kings is born in a low estate. We who take pride in pompous things, noisy events, take pride in the things of this world and the things you acquire and the things you achieve and the things you own, have no place for the one in a manger. Without the eyes of faith, you will not perceive, you will not believe, you will not go. The fact that you are here is already a good start. But until you search the scriptures, where you will find the Christ, unless you believe the scriptures where the Christ is found, but unless you come to him and look for him, not with such a casualness whereby you will say, oh, when I'm free, when I have no work, when I have no plans for that day, when I have accomplished all the things that I had thought about for that day and in the past, and when I have a family, when my children are grown up, when I have a better job, when I have this, and then only you go to find the Christ. Is that how your thinking is? No, not the shepherds. the shepherds said, "Let us go now. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has come to pass." They believed. They knew. They believed. And they went. And in verse 16, "And they came with haste." To come with haste is to have a sense of urgency, a sense of seriousness. To the shepherds, you know, can you imagine the shepherds? Do you think they run around except when the sheep, having to chase sheep? But generally, the sheep are just quietly eating or resting. And the shepherds, what do you think? Running? No. They're generally just sitting there, looking at the stars. But here you see, they came with haste. They ran. Oh. I'm not asking you to run. Where are you going to run to? But I want you to run to the Lord. Because if you know, if you believe, it's time to run. See? The shepherds thought, "Hey, if we don't go, we'll miss this event. What if the couple decides to go somewhere? But we've already been told, let us go." Don't wait. If you don't come to the Lord in haste, you may just miss it. He may just move on. Because not long after that, they had to move because Herod was after them. Herod wanting to destroy the babe. But you be careful what you know, and hopefully what you believe. But where's the doing? Where's the going after Christ? That is what is the most important thing. You will not have salvation if you don't come to Christ and go with haste to Him, the shepherds. And when they went to see Christ, what do you think they did? They all stand. You think they stand at the corner? No, they came to tell them, "Hey, the angels told us this. Wow!" And then Joseph and Mary, you see? You think they bowed down to Mary? No. They didn't bow to Mary. They bowed to the babe. It's the babe that they came to worship. They came to worship Him. It's wrong to worship man. But is it right to worship the Lord Jesus? They came to worship Him. And when they worship the Lord, their hearts were so filled with that joy. That is why when they left, they could be praising God and glorifying God. It says, all the things that they heard and seen as it was told them. Oh. If you could see their faces, if you could hear them, you said, "Hey, come on, tone down. Don't get too excited." They couldn't stop. And we shouldn't stop. At times, the exuberance of a believer, the joy of their face, and that night, you see, something has happened to them. They have come to faith. But to be certain, let them say. They will tell you, I've crossed over the hill. The Lord has saved me. I trust Him today. Oy. The joy of the shepherds are the joy of people who have come to know the Lord Jesus. They've come to trust Him. So, the three things we learned today: you find the Christ in the Scriptures. You must come to Him. You must come to the Scriptures to know of Christ. But you need to believe the Scriptures about Christ. Otherwise, you cannot have the third part. is to come to him. If you believe only a set of doctrines, a set of axioms, if you believe in only a set of do's and don'ts as your Christianity, you're on the wrong path. Because the Lord wants you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Christ. Come to the living Christ. Come to the risen Christ. Come to the Christ of what? The Christ. Which Christ is that you are coming to? It's the Christ who was born in that manger, as the angels declared, the Son of David, the Christ, the Savior, who is going to accomplish something when he starts to grow up. And he is that Christ who has died on the cross of Calvary. The Christ, that baby who has walked on the same floor in Jerusalem today, in Bethlehem today, that people, thousands of people, millions of people have walked. It is that Christ that has walked. And it is that Christ who has died and who has risen on the third day. And he's seated in heaven and he's going to return to judge the world. This is the Christ that you must come to. If you don't come to this Christ, all this knowing in the Bible that it is in your head, all this, even all this believing to be true, many people believe to be true. Your mind, your heart, your mind is informed. And your heart is being convinced and persuaded. But you lack this part. You haven't come to him. You haven't come to Christ and say, Christ, you be mine. And I want to be yours. And I want to turn from my life that I've lived without you, to come and hold you and come and have you as the Lord of my life. From now on, I don't want to live the life of my own, because that's what I've been doing. And I, all the time that I've been doing it, I've not only messed up my life, and I've been against God all my life. But this day, Lord, I want you to save me from all this. And until that day, you come personally to that personal Christ, that risen Christ, you will only still be in that second part. You know so much, you may even believe, but you have not trusted in him. And this, we want to realize that this is the case for many. But for those who are changed because they have come to Christ, you can see a big change in them. That can be over a period, that can be over a short period, but you can see a change in them. Let me tell you that we have seen an anxiety among those who have been awakened, those who have been quickened by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. They come to hear the Word every week in, week out. You know, it's become a practice. But when God works in their heart, then begin to see something is happening to that person. There is a hidden but a serious concern that is in that person. They are particularly sensitive to the Word of God. They not only know already, they not only believe, but the Word of God seems to take hold of them. Before they were more casual, the Word of God seems to be outside of them. You know, they bring their Bibles, but the Word of God is outside of them. It's not in their heart. Seems to be distinct, separate from them. But now, and they have their own world view about almost anything you ask them. But now, someone seems to take hold of them. Someone seems to be controlling their life. It's like they now have someone they are answerable to. Before, they're so confident about their life, so confident about their plans, so confident about everything, but now they seem to have to answer to someone. And this is a beginning of being awakened. Christ now sits on their throne. Their souls now, they're dethroned. They no more are the king. Now there's another king sitting in the throne of their heart. They seem to have been conquered. And amazing, whereas other countries in during times of war, when they're conquered, they don't like it. Their freedom is being curtailed. They can't do what they want. But in this case, this person who appears to be conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ is a most willing person to want the Savior to control their life. It is a quiet submission, a tenderness. Spiritual things are very tender to him, to that person. They're sensitive to it. When something bad said about the Lord, they're not happy about it. Whereas before they are indifferent, or they couldn't care, or they couldn't care being indifferent, or they may even put a snipe when their friends pour fun on Christian. But now their face is not like that. Now it's talking, they are talking and making fun of their own master. It's as if they are making fun of them. So this is a thing that happens to people who are converted. The Lord is part of them. It's no more this thing. I'm going to your church to worship. It's always Christ. You never use his name like that, but he's going to church. They're just going to church to worship. They're going to church on Sunday. It's all activity. Christ is not something personal to them. It's not something they own or being owned already. This is the path a person will come to faith in Christ and already has been captured. The sleep of death is no more. Did you know that the Bible teaches if you have not embraced the Lord Jesus by faith, you're still in a state of slumber, a state of death. Yes, you do all the ordinary things. Even Christians do the same thing. But there's a world of difference. The world of death and the world of life. If you're in Christ, you have life. Things change in you. The things you hated, now you love. The wrongs that you allowed for in your life and didn't think it's so serious, you're worried that it would not please the Lord. And now everything wrong you do, your conscience is quickened. You want to come to the Lord for forgiveness. And after a while of struggling, you surrender to the Lord. Have you come to this path? Have you come to this path where you can hear him calling your name? As it were, but there's no voice. It's only the voice of your heart, the Lord owning you, because you have come to the foot of the cross. Just as the shepherds have come to the babe, they bowed down and worshipped him, and they left rejoicing. You have done the same. You have forsaken all to be part of Christ. And when you go out, when you go out of your room or your whatever it is that you have come to receive the Lord and bow to him, people can begin to notice a change. And you will say to people, let me tell you someone I found. And people will be afraid of you because they only like the one that they knew before you were converted. They only like that person. But now, you are no more your own. And you will tell the whole world all that you have, if you could, but you wouldn't. But you'll be willing to tell the world, and people can list down all the wrong that is in your life that you have done. But you said, it's true. You'll be the first to say that you deserve it. You deserve that it be, you knew it was wrong. You deserve any punishment if God were to judge you. And this is another thing about a person who is converted. He's ashamed of his sin, but he's no more afraid of his sins being exposed. He doesn't do it deliberately, but if someone were to have his list of his sins and all the wrong he'd done, just to poke at him, just to say, as Satan would poke at him and say, how can God save such an unworthy sinner like you? That list, you see, you will say to him, whoever it is, yes, that's that list. Yes, that list, yes. But it's red in color. It's red because it's washed by the blood of Christ. But if you still have that list with you now, but it's not red, you still hold it and hide it in your heart, you can be sure you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord. You haven't been conquered by Him. You still keep Him at a distance. You don't want to repent. You don't want to believe. You only say that you know the Bible tells you about God. You know, you believe even what the Bible says, but you won't come to Christ to have all that list of yours, which is a book, a great big book of here is your life. It's not red in color. It's not washed. Satan still can poke at you every day and frighten you. You see, you're not. Why would someone want to save such a person like you? Look at your thing. Look at what you did. You did all this. No one knows. But Satan knows in that book. But you said, you will say, when you have come to the foot of the cross, when you have come to Christ, when you bow to Him, you said it's red in color. It's washed clean. Yes? Those are my sins, but they're washed clean. Until that day, please, please don't call yourself a Christian yet, because you're still ashamed. You're still ashamed to have the sins all laid out. No? Why are you ashamed? It's because you haven't come to Christ to have it washed. That's why you're bearing it yourself. That's why it's so shameful. Of course, we don't go around telling people what the wrong things we have done. We don't show people that list. But I'm trying to tell you that as long as you hold it in your heart and hide it there, and if you don't come to have it washed by the blood of Christ, you are not saved. Christ is not your Lord. He is not your Savior. He doesn't run your life. You still can say, some other time, when I'm free, I know the word is so searching that this day, but not yet. You still hold back. And until the day that you come and surrender your life to Christ and say, I really deserve. And this is the thing about being a Christian. He realizes he deserves all the punishment that God will say. Actually, he deserves to go to hell. And if someone told him, yes, you're such a guilty person to go to hell, you wouldn't say, hey, you are worse than me. You wouldn't say that anymore. You wouldn't say to someone, hey, what are you saying to me? You did worse things last time. You remember what you did? No more. You keep quiet. Because if you face God, if you face the Lord Jesus, you know. You have nowhere to hide, and all your sins are laid bare. What is more to compare with others who are worse than you? You wouldn't anymore. This is the path of a person. See? You run to Christ because you know the scriptures, and you believe them, and now you are so convicted, you run in haste. And when you come out of that door, you are praising God. Hey, will you not do so tonight? Will not Christ be your Savior tonight? He's calling. He uses us to call. It's an external call. But the work of grace that God has until He opens your heart, you will come to this baby and say, oh, very nice baby. Oh, very beautiful. Only the environment not so nice. And then leave. But that's because you have no eyes of faith. No eyes of faith. You know the scriptures teach so. You say it's very true, very true. But no eyes of faith to behold the Christ. It is the eyes of faith for the shepherds to believe in this Christ who's just a baby. It's just a baby. Nothing done, nothing accomplished. Just only born. It's eyes of faith. Without faith, you cannot do anything in God's kingdom. Whatever you may be in, you may be a believer, but still without the eyes of faith, you cannot do. No wonder we shirk away, we shrink away from things that we should be doing. Why? Because we haven't come to the fountain to ask to give us more faith, to believe and to act. That is the reason why many Christians are where they are, is because they know the Bible, they know it's true, and they may even have come to Christ and believed in Him. But it's just an intellectual belief, or it's just a life that is not vital. Not trusting in Christ each day, not seeing any advance of the gospel in the lives of others as you interact, not being happy that a church is being planted there, not being involved in the life of the church, but always remaining at a comfortable spot. Faith. Without faith, you can. Even don't talk about moving mountains. Talk about even the littlest thing. You find, even doing it, you find you're all alone. God wants you to do something, and you've done it. But how come you don't feel happy about it? It's because you didn't do it out of faith. You just did it out of duty. You didn't believe that if God commanded you to do it, God will be pleased. And you commit to God. You give thanks to God. But you did it because it was just a duty. You had no thought of praising God in what you were doing. The Christian life is a life of faith. From beginning to end. Faith. Beginning to end, and in between. And believers, don't be surprised when you interact with exuberant Christians. Learn to realize that they have a joy that God has given them. It may be a simple joy, and you thought you know so much more than Him. But where is your joy? Where is your love for the Savior? During the time when John Tsung came in the 30s and 40s to this Southeast Asia from China, and the Toh brothers, who were quite used by God in the Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore, when they went for the rally, and when they returned, they only used the word in Hokkien, or I don't know, Chu 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 Vi Chu. their faces changed. Before, they helped their parents in their business as young children, but after the rally, when they heard Don Sung, when God had gripped their lives, when they were changed, when they trusted in Christ, surrendered their life, and they were used by God in this 30, 40 years, when they came home, in their mouth, they were just jumping up and down, chubby-choo. Praise be to God. Praise God. Have you ever used that word? I mean, from yourself, from your heart, have you used that term, praise be to God? When there was a thing worthy to be praised be to God? Or you only heard others use it? Your life, is it such so shallow because your love for the Savior is so shallow? Let us return back to Him. Let us be learn something from the shepherds. The simple shepherds that you probably won't notice. You would just pass by them. They look up the sheep, ordinary, mundane life, and yet they had the privilege of being a witness to the birth of the Lord Jesus. And God, it was God's purpose to choose them. Not you, the high and mighty, the proud, the achieved, but to choose simple folk to be saved. And there's something for us to learn. Everything is not only by faith, but everything must exalt Christ. We must be like John the Baptist. We are so unworthy to tie the sandals, the shoelace of his sandals. If you have that attitude, you will begin to be used by God. Otherwise, yourself will always trying to be competing with God. Don't compete with God. Be nothing in His sight. Then He will use you. And how wonderful to go back to praise Him who is worthy of praise and adoration. Okay, let us close with a hymn.